Hello, wonderful. How are you?
Scares me every time.
What? Oh, when it says this meeting is being
Yes.
recorded. I know.
Yeah. It's a new thing, and every time I'm on now on a Zoom, I'm like, okay, I'm waiting for it.
But I mean,
It
yeah, but it's
scares me.
perfect because so many people, I'm sure, were being recorded and had no idea.
Yes.
You
Yes.
know. And so, you know, because I always look up in the corner. There's some
Yeah.
conversations that so there's just some conversations that you just don't want recorded, or you'd be looking crazy on Zoom when you get recorded. Need recorded. Let me just get some water and I'll be right with you,
Sure, I'm
okay?
gonna turn on my light. So
Okay.
yeah.
Oh, you got plenty of light. Looks good.
Okay.
Looks good. Let me just get some water.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, here I come.
Okay.
Here It's me and you, baby, for the next 30 minutes. That's scary.
Yes.
So I went and had some medical tests done. They came back in my favor, which was good, I
Very
thought.
good.
But now I'm going to go to this Optimum Spa. And girl, it's right around the corner from my it's I could walk to it if I had to. And so I'm trying to decide, well, am I going to give it the whole experience and just really kind of go into it, rent the room, pretend I'm in a staycation, you know? Get the colonic, all that, or am I gonna come home every night for a week? That's kind of cheesy though. You know, you can't get the full effect if you just don't go
If
all
you
in.
don't do, yeah, I was just about to say, like, if you're gonna go and check it out, like, it's almost for me, it's like going to a new restaurant. My husband gets so mad because I order so many different things. I'm like, well, I want to taste it. I want to taste it. So,
Very expensive date. How do you pronounce your first name? Le
Larney.
Larnie. Okay.
Yes.
Larnie.
Like Barney with an L.
Okay. Larnie.
Mulvey.
How Mulvey.
Yes.
That sounds Irish. Don't sound Asian.
My husband is Irish.
Okay.
He's a 6'3" white dude, and then here I am, a 5'1" on a good day Asian lady.
Oh, you're just
Oh yeah, I'm tiny.
5'1"? Yeah, petite.
I'm petite, but I've been called sturdy.
Sturdy.
Yes, I'm sturdy because I'm 230 and I can
Girl, wait a minute. Two
lift
five
a
one
lot.
and 230?
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't feel bad.
I really accept my weight. I don't hide it. Like if somebody asks, I'm like, I'm 230.
No, you, but you're putting it on. You are doing it. You are doing it for a reason. You are
Yes.
a power lifter, and she's here with
Yes.
us, brains on the edge,
That's right.
at the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. There's
That's right.
Larnie. I just can't believe that you're 230 pounds.
Yeah, I...
I'm all muscle, though. This is no flab, no fat in there.
I have some cushion in the middle, but that's okay. Like, that's... For me, I call it best genetics.
Okay.
That's for my dad. Okay. But, yeah, I'm a big proponent of muscle for myself. Like, I want to be as big as I can. I was talking to somebody else, and they're like, what is your vision of big? Cause I like think about being big all the time. Like, I want to be big. I want to be big. I want my voice to be big. I want everything to be big. Then I was like, I want to be big that I have to walk sideways through a door.
Okay. Now that's what we're going to talk about, brains. We're talking about building her. Okay.
Yes.
And Larnie has been doing this for a while. She's a power lifter. Oh yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
You see him on television. And I don't understand what it is, but we're going to ask her a couple questions. One, about self-esteem, self-image, mm-hmm. because her brand is building her.
Yes.
What does building her look like from the inside out? Again, she's only 5'1 on a good day, 230 pounds, okay? And she is so confident in that. There are so many men and women that look at themselves in the mirror and I'm too thin or I'm too big. But we're talking about self-esteem. What is the conversation that's rallying around in your head? She wants to be as big as she can possibly get. I'm going to ask her a little bit about that. I'm going to ask her about her book. I'm going to ask about her relationship, being an Asian woman married to an Irish man. We are going to get it in, okay?
Yes.
240 pounds. How much can you lift, Larnie?
Okay, so my most recent competition, so powerlifting is 3 events, which is a squat, bench, and a deadlift. So I squatted, I think 280, I benched 165, and then my deadlift was 402. So I cracked the 400 mark for my deadlift, and I was very proud of that.
Wow. And, you know, I want to ask you another thing, too, because I like to lift weights. I want some guns like Michelle Obama. I want some nice big arms. I got big legs. Yes. But, you know, women really worry about looking too masculine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you see that there are women that their facial composure even changes from lifting a lot of weights. And what happens when you get old and you can't lift those weights? So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. So let's start at the beginning. Yes. Tell us how powerlifting and life is treating you right now.
Life is treating me fairly well, giving, you know, the 2020 issues. You know, like, I started my company just last year, the Strong and Mighty Company. I started it last year. And the reason is I lost my job in March 2020. I had a job lined up in April. So probably about a month later, they called me 2 days before I was going to start on that Monday. And they said, you know what, with this pandemic, we don't have that contract that you are going to work. And I was like, shoot. Okay, well, all right. I will just keep looking. And then I had another job lined up in June. And they called me the Friday before I was supposed to start on the Monday. And they said, hey, Larnie, with COVID ramping up, we don't know what's going to happen. So sorry, we don't have that contract. So now 2 times I've been looking for another position, and 2 times I've been told that there's no position. And it's like, okay, before I get depressed and before I get really upset, what does a girl do? I go to the hair salon and I go get my hair done.
That's right.
So I'm talking to my hairdresser. I'm telling her how I felt like my old company was just keeping me small and keeping me not wanting to exceed and excel as a leader, as a supervisor. And I felt like in my heart, I said, you know, women are a lot stronger than they think they are. We are a lot stronger when we're together, when we work together, and we support each other. And I guess I was talking loud, and someone from the salon came up to me and she tapped me on the shoulder and said, thank you for that. I really needed to hear that. And someone I don't know had acknowledged me and acknowledged that I can have a voice to help someone.
Yeah.
So I took it. I took this opportunity in 2020 to build another version of her, which is here, who I am right now, talking with you. I am using my voice to empower women, to let them know that they are a lot stronger than they think they are. And honestly, powerlifting has really been a big factor in helping build her.
Well, you've been powerlifting more than a year, I'm sure. So
yes.
How did you find powerlifting?
Okay, so I'm an Asian immigrant, came to the States when I was 5, and it was a big identity crisis when I moved here. I didn't know, should I be American? Should I be Asian? I don't know. And there was always that fight. But I always knew that there was an athlete in me. I just didn't know how. I just didn't know what capacity. And when I started lifting weights is when I felt more comfortable with myself. Whether it was, you know, when I was in my teens and lifting the smaller weights, to when I was in my 20s and starting to dabble in the heavier weights. Powerlifting came around after years of experimenting to find what worked for me. Mm. And it took a little, you know, I have my blue belt in jiu-jitsu. I tried to do boxing. I even thought I was a runner for a year in my life. And that was the worst decision I ever made. And but powerlifting and lifting heavy weights, that was my thing. I really felt connected to it.
You could be one of those MMA fighters at this point. and all of that, you can do that. All right, so now let's talk about that. A lot of things happen when you lift weights. Mm-hmm. Your hormones change. Mm-hmm. You know, your body requires a lot more food. You take different supplements and vitamins to support that. And your whole composure changes. So mm-hmm. when you get naked... Yes, we all get naked, brains. It's not a dirty word. And you stand there in the mirror. What do you now see?
I see muscles. I see a strong woman that stands there knowing where her feet stand, knowing where her feet are planted, knowing that there is this woman that can carry 402 pounds if I needed to. And I never see myself as masculine. Like, people ask me that all the time. Oh my God, if I touch a weight, I'm going to look like a man. That's if that's the look that you are going for, or, you know, there is an awareness of what's going to happen in your body when you're lifting weights.
Well, and some genetics though. I mean, can't some things morph and change whether you want them or not?
You know, like when I think about genetics, like I'm short, you know, I can be stocky. I am very stocky, and my genetics doesn't build that way. And some people do have that, that predisposition of looking a certain way, but it takes work. It takes work to look that way. Like, I don't feel like I don't look masculine. I may be a bigger woman, but that doesn't mean I'm masculine. I may be a stronger woman, but that doesn't mean I'm masculine. Right. And it's really like, what's your perception? What is your perception of...
And what is masculine? Because
what is masculine? Exactly.
People are going non-binary, which I'm still trying to get my head around. They don't want to identify with one thing or another. Okay, so buying clothes. Girl, is that a challenge?
Yes. Don't put me in a button down, because those buttons will scream. Mm-hmm. You know that it's you know that Hulk show back in the day where
right.
Sometimes I feel like that. Like, I'm gonna rip the back of my shirt. But there are some transitions now going to giving women with broad shoulders. That's me, a woman with bigger, broader shoulders, more access to clothing. There's a lot of companies that don't, you know, extra large doesn't fit.
Right. But see, but you're in the petite also category because of the shorter torso. So mm-hmm. you really got a challenge when it comes to that. Well, start a fashion line.
Don't, I've already have that in my brain. Okay.
Really, all you gotta do is find a nice seamstress and to hook it up, because I'm sure that there's a lot of women at the gym that go through that same thing.
Yes, we get the big legs and the big butt, and we're just short.
And you know, people pay a lot of money for big butts now. They get those booty injections and big breasts and all that. But it's also the conversation that you're having within your own head. So I'm sure that when you're lifting these weights, that adrenaline and those endorphins fire, and people are looking at you. You know, what does it do? Does it give you a charge? I mean, you know, and you're competing. You know, does it make your ego soar? And that's okay.
You know, it's interesting, the mindset when it comes to competing, because there are a lot of things going, especially for me, there's a lot of things going in my head. First of all, we are wearing it's a singlet. So it is skin tight. You see every roll, you see every panty line, you see everything that we try to hide as women. We see it, people will see it in your singlet. And that takes a lot of courage to wear something like that in front of 100 people, thousands of people. And sometimes the competitions are streamed. So there's, you know, you're watching something from, somebody is watching it from like different country or whatever, but you're wearing this outfit and you are going to get judged. You are going to get criticized. It is really up to me having that stronger mindset to be like, you know what, judge all you want. What you think about me is none of my business.
Right.
What I think about myself is 100%.
Absolutely. Let me ask you something else too, okay? And you may not experience this, but they say that it's a hormonal imbalance, not just the physical look, but also, you know, with women's female organs, reproducing, all of that when they go to extreme power lifting. Is that a myth?
You know, that's something I've not myself experienced, so I don't know. Since I've been powerlifting for a year, since 2019, I have not experienced any of those changes. Maybe there are more experienced lifters who have experienced something like that, but that's something that we don't.
I don't even think it's necessarily lifters. I hear that it's a lot with women athletes, period.
Yeah, it's something that
it's so intense.
Yeah, it's for me, it's like I haven't experienced any of that. Maybe I need to be doing it a little longer, or maybe I need to do it more. And, you know, like maybe my intensity is not there yet.
Right, right. And it may never happen to you. I mean, you know, it can always be different. Let's move on to the pages of your book. Where's your book at?
I have actually, it's right here.
Right here, yes. Standing in strength.
Yes.
Go on, Larnie. What's in the pages of those books, sweet baby?
So this book, it's called Standing in Strength, Inspirational Stories of Power Unleashed. So there are 7 women authors, including myself, who collaborated into this book. We talk about how fitness, how sports, how activity, movement propelled us past obstacles. What did we learn through sport that gets us over some of the obstacles of, you know, we were talking about like, poking and prodding ourselves and like comparing ourselves to others. And we use, like for me, it was powerlifting. How I use powerlifting and my strength to get over some hurdles of being depressed, being suicidal, being so...
Oh, God. Really?
So yes. Like it was how, you know, that identity I didn't have growing up as an Asian American, how I found myself in powerlifting and it made me embrace myself more. And it made my self-belief about myself go up to the next level. And it's interesting the capabilities of what we have in sport where we're, instead of competing, instead of performing, we're actually competing.
Right.
And we see the capabilities of our body.
We see a lot of Asian women, gymnastics, swim competitions, you know, the little petite type of things. You see Asian men, sumo. I love sumo wrestling. Girl, I think that is so sexy. I love it. Me and my girl even learn the rules. But again, it is about gender. And people just kind of go into these roles and responsibilities. So you collaborated and you wrote inside of this book.
Mm-hmm,
and you're pouring your heart and your soul into this book. But there's a lot of pain there. And I want to switch the subject just for a minute, because it's very prevalent in the news right now on what is happening to Asian Americans, how you are being targeted. Well, girl, you know, we got some synergy there, because they use Black folks for target practice all the time. But you know what? I have to say this. I have to keep it real. It was real easy to get legislation for Asian Americans where we can't even get a verdict for African Americans. How does that make you feel as an Asian American woman, knowing that people are targeting you for something that you have no control over? You guys didn't bring the virus.
You know, it's funny, because I get asked this question sometimes, and I've thought about it a little bit. And is it just another excuse to fuel hate? Is it another excuse of uneducated? Like, I asked people that I knew, like, did you learn anything about Asian Americans in high school or whatever? And they're like, no. Is it another way of giving me an opportunity to educate people on what Asian Americans are? We are more than food. We are more than, you know, like submissive women. We are more than quiet, and we have a lot more. And I think that goes through all this time of no education or no representation of us. And that just
But you're married to a white man.
Yes. And that's so and then I'm married to a tall Irish man. And it's almost like he loves me for me. I love him for him.
He better.
But it's like, I feel like I love people for who they are. I love
what people attracted for their you, character. What attracted you to him? Because it seems like you were polar opposites, okay? He's tall, he's Irish, you're small, petite, you are Asian. You know, what did you do? Did you bat your eyes across the room?
I'll tell you this, April. I didn't think I was going to end up with this dude. I was in doing my own thing, because there was a point in my life where I was like, you know what? I'm done with these men who have no direction on what I want to be. You know, it's almost like, well, I want a relationship. Okay. Well, I don't. Okay. Well, then I don't have time for you. I'm sorry. I started valuing myself so much more that when I started to be more aware of, I don't want to say useless relationships, but relationships that took my energy away from the right direction. And when I met him, it was very, he knew my adventurous side. I love going out and doing new things, tasting new foods, all that. And he wasn't. And I knew that he was going to be around for a long time, whether we got married or not. When he was like, well, I want to try that with you. And he was the first one that was able to keep up with me, to keep up with my adventurous side, to go and try new things. And I think that's what drew me to him, because he wasn't closed-minded about all the things that I have visions of and want to do and all that.
Okay, so now you are growing up in a traditional Asian household. What did Mama Sung and Papa Sung say when you brought?
Well, the thing with that is my parents both passed away. I don't have both my parents, and I wish my mom was here, because I think my mom and my husband would totally get along. But my mom died in 2001, and my dad passed away in 2015, and they never got to meet him. But I know in my mind that they would approve of him, because he just goes with the flow. He's not, you know, he understands my, he understands portions of my culture. He understands that we are not steak and potatoes people. We are garlic and rice and all these, you know, and it's not, he's open. He's not closed off to it. He's open to it. He's like, I'll try it. I'll try it.
Because if he wasn't, you wouldn't be with him.
Exactly. I tell him all the time. I told him, I was like, if you, you know what, if you want to leave me, just tell me, because, you know, I will get rid of all this stuff. I think it's, I think he finds me very independent. And I think he really, he likes that about me, because we're not losing ourselves with each other.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You have your own identity, and that's so important. And yes, that's what you've created in Strong and Mighty. Tell us a little bit more about Strong and Mighty and what you're pouring into these women, and who is your ideal client?
So Strong and Mighty allows me to connect with women 25 to 35 years old who feel like they have this feeling of being held back. Because I went through the stage of between 25 and 35 years old where I always felt held back, where it was something in the back of my mind that held me back, and I just didn't know what it was. And I created a program. It's called Tools of Strength. It takes you through a process of finding your inner strength, which ends up at the end of the program providing more positivity to the community, providing more love to yourself, finding more self-belief in yourself. And I started Strong and Mighty because of the girl from the hair salon. When she acknowledged me, and then she's like, you know, I really needed to hear that. I really needed to know that I'm stronger than I think I am. And she's like, you know, I should pay you to tell me that every day. And I go, hey, salon sessions are free, girl. It's okay.
Well, you know, hair therapy, you know, that's yes, what we do. That's what we do.
Yeah.
So, I go to the bar or to the pool hall. We go to the hair salon and just pour our hearts out.
And that's really like the connection for Strong and Mighty. The pillars for Strong and Mighty is confidence, positivity, and community. Because those are the three things for me that I needed to build in myself. I needed to build her in that sense. And now I'm able to do that with people I talk with, strangers, people in my gym, even men. Like, men need to know this. Men need to have an idea of what are the perceptions out there of women. And it's like, they sometimes they don't know, and we have, and I am there to like tell them as well. We may not connect in the same like ideas, but at least now they know. At least they can't say, well, I didn't know. Right. Well, now you know.
They do. Well, they say, if you don't know, you better ask somebody, baby.
That's right.
So what part of the country are you in?
I'm in the Chicagoland area. It's beautiful here today.
Oh, you guys get winter 9 months out of the year. You get some cold. Yeah. All right. So you get up. What's your daily routine? You know, just, what is the daily routine of a power lifter?
So I get up around 6:30 in the morning, and I have to have my coffee in the morning. I have to have that. And I walk my dogs around like 7:30. And it's funny because I take that time, like 15 minutes of this walk, I have my conversation with the universe. I have my conversation with God. I ask for direction. I ask for some kind of guidance, you know, within that few minutes walk. And I take the time to not only acknowledge myself, but to acknowledge humanity, like people who are walking on the pond where I walk my dogs. I say good morning to every single person when I see them. And that's just because I feel that we've been in the masks for so long, or maybe in most of our lives, people are looking down at their feet because they don't, it's like they don't trust their feet where they're going, that they're not looking forward. And I want to acknowledge them.
They're in this tunnel vision, you know? Yes. They're thinking about their job. They're thinking about their bills. They're thinking about their relationship. They're not thinking. Or you know what? Sometimes they just straight up disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to acknowledge you. They don't appreciate the value. I asked this lady one day. She caught me. I said, good morning. What's so good about it? I said, your ass woke up. Let's start there. now. I said, how disrespectful and how rude. I extend myself to you. I open my heart to you because I want you to have a good morning. I want you to have a good day. And then this is what you come back with. So it's not good. So that's great. Okay, so now after you do your acknowledgement, do your walk, you know, do you come in and have a super smoothie?
You know, honestly, I eat a lot. I'm not going to lie. I eat about 2,200 calories a day. Mm. I eat a lot. And that's just because of my training.
That's not 2,200.
Oh. 2,200. Woo. Okay. I eat a lot. And if you ask, it's more protein, but I do need the good carbs. It's a little bit, it's very balanced. Let's just say it's very balanced when it comes to eating. And, you know, all these trackers for fats and carbs and everything, they don't count for Filipino food. Mm-hmm. They only count for potatoes.
There's no chicken adobo. There's no there's no ponce.
Yes. And that it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to guesstimate on what this is, but eating is something that not only do I enjoy it, but it's something that nourishes my body. It helps me heal. It helps my muscles recover. It helps them grow. And it's something that I do like every two and a half hours. You know, I eat. I have my biggest meal around lunchtime. And then because I train in the afternoon. Okay. So I'll have my biggest meal around like 12 and then I train at 3 o'clock and then I train until about 6:30 at night.
Wow.
And then So it takes a long time. So, and then I have like I shouldn't say a light dinner, but it's not heavy. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't eat protein heavy at night because it keeps me awake and it gives me crazy dreams. So okay. I like do my meals that way.
Now, are you concerned about how you are going to appear at 45, 50? And I say that this is different. You know, you're powerlifting. I had a girlfriend that was big and fluffy. And she got a tattoo on her back. Beautiful raven across her back. Maybe she went on one of these diets. And I think she lost like about 85 pounds. And that raven went down to a crow. The wings just kind of, because she lost that weight.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, I don't know if you're going to get bored with this, but is there a natural progression that you can kind of, you know, get your body back to a not powerlifting size? I don't want to say normal because I don't know what normal is for a 5'1" woman.
Right.
What did you weigh before you started powerlifting? What was your average weight?
180. I want to say 180. So, I mean, I've gained weight for sure. As we age, I'm 44, by the way.
No.
Yes, I'll be 45 this year.
I'm not 45, really?
Yes, I'll be 45 in November. And my body looks great.
I'm sure he likes it.
I love my body. I love the way it looks now. It's actually with the muscle that I've transferred from the fat. I am, I am less jiggly, I guess. And things have shifted in my body. I now have the butt that I've always wanted. Now I finally have the strong legs that I've always wanted. I have the strong arms. They don't look like Michelle Obama's, but whenever I get a chance to flex my arms, I do. And that's why I always wear like a sleeveless shirt because it's kind of like, you know, I can't wear like t-shirts and stuff. I feel very constricted. And I'm happy with what I have. I'm happy with my body. And you know, if it changes in the next year.
You think you're going to be happy with that body at 60? I've been seeing this lady, and I'm sure that you've seen her. She's a bodybuilder, older African-American woman.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
She's not a power lifter, but she's seriously in the gym.
She's a competitor.
Yeah.
She's a bodybuilding competitor. Mm-hmm.
You think you could be doing this maybe at 60?
You know, yes. Wow. I belong to another group called Old Ladies Lift. And there are so many older, I'm 44 going on 45, and there are still competitors in their 60s and 70s. Wow. And, powerlifting to me is one of those sports that's everlasting that needs some kind of modification depending on where you're at in your life. Really, that's what
money is. For competition or trophies or a trip
trophies for sure. There are trophies and medals for sure. Money, I don't know. But there are trips. There are so many trips.
And sponsorships.
There are sponsorships.
Yeah, yes. I'm sure that there'd be sponsorships. Again, we're going to try to get you a contract with somebody to get a lot of clothing. You know, absolutely. Well, you are absolutely amazing. And
thank you.
You have no problem building her. You have done a fantastic job. I'm so glad to have you here on The Edge with me. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Larnie.
Sure.
Again, for the conversation, you may not want to lift the weight, but you might want to use that muscle in your head.
Yes, lift your mind. Yep.
You know?
Lift your mind.
And move forward and progress and read a great book. How do you get in contact with you, Precious?
Sure. So my website is just LarnieMulvey.com. There's a contact me button on there where you can send me questions and email me with any requests. I am very active on Instagram, which is at Larnie Mulvey. And that's where a lot of people usually find me because I post a lot of my training, but I also do a daily strength post where I do almost like a inner reflection, and I share my reflection on a daily strength post. So people can find that there. And on At Strong and Mighty Company on Instagram as well.
Well, put that book up one more time.
This is actually my book. I have flags on the side here because all the authors have some great quotes and things that have given me some insight. And so I like to flag my books.
And it's very important because you need, I do that all the time. I write in my books.
Me too.
I always write in my books, underline. I want to go back. Those are things that really resonate with me. And I don't want to have a problem finding it when I need it.
Exactly.
So thank you so much, Marnie, for being here on The Edge with me and the brains. We are at the spot where the conversation is what? Pointed. The guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. Yeah. And I want you to go in and subscribe. Okay. Share, like, follow. All of those things are important. You know, share this information with someone that may be in a down spot or got flabby arms. Thank you, Larnie. You are the best, baby.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. Bye, brains.